For decades, professional sports have offered something increasingly rare. A place where people who disagreed about almost everything could still agree on the scoreboard. But America's WNBA is becoming something very different. You see, the league is experiencing unprecedented attention and major economic growth. Yet increasingly, some of its biggest headlines have little to do with basketball. You see, Caitlin Clark, Sophie Cunningham, Cameron Brink, Natasha Collier, Natasha Cloud, Angel Reese, and now former NBA players Ernest Kenner-Freedom and Royce White have inserted themselves into this debate over transgender eligibility in women's basketball. Now, league sources say whether it is they are ineligible for the NBA draft. But gender, race, sexuality, politics, women's rights, transgender participation, and even the definition of what women's supports are supposed to represent. So is all of this controversy actually damaging the WNBA? Or has the league unintentionally become America's newest cultural background? And is all that controversy actually making people watch? I'm Skynell Hughes, and this is America First. For an international audience, it's important to understand just how dramatically the WNBA has changed. Now, America's premier women's professional basketball league, well, it's celebrating its 30th season, and commercially, this should be one of its greatest success stories. You know, the league reached a landmark new labor agreement this year and dramatically increases players' salaries and introduces a major revenue-sharing system. Television audiences are also producing milestones. An August game between Caitlin Clark's Indiana Fever and the New York Liberty, it averaged more than 2 million viewers on ESPN and one of the largest WNBA cable audiences ever. But the cultural conversation, well, is becoming almost as important as the basketball. You see, Indiana Fever player Sophie Cunningham has ignited this national argument after speaking out against transgender women participating in women's sports. And there's currently no transgender woman playing in the WNBA. But Cunningham's comments, well, it generated demonstrations of both supporting and opposing her position. Meanwhile, Minnesota Lynx coach Cheryl Reeve, she responded by wearing a T-shirt. It was reading, "Trans kids belong," while the players' union has condemned what it has described as demonization of a transgender people. Then former NBA player Ernest Kanter-Freedom and Royce White has announced intentions to enter the 2027 WNBA draft. This after saying they identify as women. Moves league sources, you know, the league sources actually characterized as attempts to provoke controversies. They have been deemed ineligible. Now, Los Angeles Sparks star Cameron Brink has now publicly blasted Kanter-Freedom over this stunt and strongly has defended transgender people. Meanwhile, the league continues dealing with debates involving race, sexuality, online harassment, officiating, and its relationship with its own players, which raises a very fascinating question. Is the WNBA suffering from too much politics, or is the controversy becoming part of the product? Joining me tonight are two people that are coming from two different directions of opinion. You have Caitlin Wheeler, women's sports advocate and former collegiate swimmer, and Kenny Webster, radio host and comedian. Caitlin and Kenny, the two Ks, thank you both for being here today. Caitlin, I want to start with you and the central question. The WNBA, well, it's growing commercially. And at the same time that conversations surrounding gender, race, and politics are increasingly competing with what happens on the court. So from your perspective, as a women's sports advocate, is this cultural attention actually strengthening women's athletics, or are the athletes themselves becoming secondary to these political causes?
Yeah, you know, it's sad to see how, you know, the WNBA has become sort of a laughingstock. I don't say that because I want it to see it fail. I want the WNBA to succeed. I want these women to make more money. I want more people watching. I want these little girls who are watching these players and wanting to grow up and be a WNBA player themselves. But you look at what's happened with this league and you're just like, what are we doing? You have green dildos being thrown on the court. You have obvious player biases. You have not a non-binary turtle as your mascot. like, what the actual heck are we doing? And then there's this part that really blows my mind with the WNBA, is that they've had more attention, as you mentioned, more eyes, more opportunity than it has ever had before, largely because of the players like Caitlin Clark and Sophie Cunningham. And instead of looking at this as an opportunity, as, you know, how do we capitalize on this? How do we grow women's basketball? How do we bring in more fans? How do we make these women more money? But it feels as if they want to smash the very people who are helping bring in those fans. And they're failing upwards. And what I mean by that is they're being handed this incredible opportunity and they're leaving a ton of money on the table because they've turned what should be women's basketball into this ideological political battleground. And that's the part that frustrates me personally, mostly because there are actual women at the center of this. It's their livelihoods, it's their jobs, it's the sport that they love. And it's really sad that the WNBA has become such a mockery when these women deserve so much more than that. They deserve to have a league that actually protects them, promotes them, and allows them to succeed. I don't want to see the WNBA fail. I want to see these women win, succeed. I want to see Title IX be protected. And I think most of us do.
Well, and that brings up a real great question. We're going to discuss later about this Title IX and how it's being actually corrupted to be used against them in some cases. Kenny, I do want to bring you into this conversation because there's this old saying that there's no such thing as bad publicity. However, as pointed out, the WNBA has never received this much attention, but this controversy, do you see it actually helping or does it actually hurting the league and, more importantly, hurting the sport and female sports?
Well, we've been told for a long time the WNBA is not making any money. It's subsidized by the NBA. No one actually knows. They're very quiet about what the actual profit margins look like. They keep telling us women's basketball has evolved. The game has evolved. Evolved into what? More mid-range bricks and press conferences about equity? I actually agree with everything the other panelists just said. The league was created by drawing a line. Now the line is problematic. Sophie Cunningham seems great to me. She said the quiet part out loud. Locker rooms and girlhood are not supposed to be a costume shop, and the building treated her like she'd knocked over the sacrament. If your women's league can't say the word women out loud, it's not a women's league. It's a mood board with a commissioner in charge of it.
You know, it's funny because this is only happening on the women's side. You know, Sophie Cunningham, as you pointed out, has become one of the central figures in this debate after arguing against the transgender women competing in women's sports. Her comments have generated demonstrations outside games, support from prominent conservatives, and opposition from others inside the WNBA. In fact, conservatives are now having hosting parties watching Sophie Cunningham in the WNBA. So, Caitlin, you've been involved in this debate yourself. Is Cunningham saying something privately shared by the majority of female athletes than people realize, and their voices are basically being bullied to be quiet by the louder minority?
Absolutely. You know, I believe the majority of the female athletes out there believe that men don't belong in women's sports. They don't belong in our locker rooms. But I think what Sophie Cunningham has shown is she has a moral compass and a backbone. And to me, that's what courage looks like. It's seeing something that you know is morally wrong and having the courage to stand up and say, you know, this is wrong. I don't agree with this. But she's even come out and said, you know, I just want to play basketball. And I think most of these female athletes do. But I think it's a matter of being able to stand up for these things that you see are wrong and taking the risk of maybe losing opportunities. Because it's not an easy thing that Sophie's had to do to take this stance. In fact, it's probably the scariest step that she's taken in her career because it's not something that she's had to do. She's done it because she's seen the problem. And I think what Enos and Royce White are doing is great because it's proving the point of this issue. I think they're doing a really good job of exposing, you know, the insanity of the situation, because of course we don't want men playing in women's sports. We don't want men getting naked next to us in our locker rooms. Every sane person on this planet doesn't want any of those things. And that's the point that's trying to be made here. If you truly believe that anyone who simply identifies as a woman should be allowed to compete in the WNBA, then Enos and Royce should be welcomed into the WNBA with open arms. But that's not what's happening. We're having these former NBA players who are self-identifying as a woman, playing by the rules here, you know, their own rules. They're ready to enter the 2027 draft. And now their self-identification is being rejected by the very same people who have said that that's all it takes. And I think that's incredibly hypocritical of them, because my next question is, what exactly qualifies you to be trans then? Is it hormones? Is it the surgeries that you've had? Is it your political affiliation? If you were to ask the same people who advocate for this ideology what qualifies someone as being trans, well, they say anyone who simply identifies. Okay, Enos identifies, Royce identifies, but now we're suddenly hearing that they're in bad faith. But what exactly does that mean?
Kenny, I just have to ask, because as a man, doesn't it sort of, why is it that men feel like that they are having to do this? Why do they feel like, in order, whether we're talking about scholarship, competition, why are they feeling like they have to cross the lines in order to even compete to win? And why aren't more men standing up? I mean, you hear the outrage from females like our panelist here, but why aren't more male athletes standing up and say, you know what, stay in your lanes, come back over here, compete against us, big boy. Don't try to go against the women.
Well, I've always assumed that both of these two athletes we're discussing right now, these former NBA players, are kidding.
They're trying to prove a point, right? But why aren't more men like yourself? Why aren't men standing up and saying this isn't right? Why is it the women we often hear about it? The men aren't talking about it as much as the women are having to.
I think it's nuanced, right? Like, I find a lot of conservative men are talking about. I host a national morning radio show. We're on a lot of talk stations and rock stations. We have never talked about the WNBA in previous years as much as we've talked about it this year. Now we talk about it all the time, like constantly. That's never happened before. And it's happening for a number of reasons. Obviously, the trans controversy. But then there's Caitlin Clark. I think a lot of conservative men are blown away by the fact that the WNBA finally has a player who makes strangers buy tickets. And the institutional response is to treat this woman like a spoiled glass of Merlot. If the NBA hid Michael Jordan on a poster because he was the wrong kind of famous, we'd call that a nervous breakdown. We'd look at the NBA like a business that's doomed to fail. But for some reason, the WNBA is treating Caitlin Clark like she has leprosy and Sophie Cunningham like she's trying to destroy the league. Conservative men also look at this and think to themselves, part of the reason why we assume a lot of people aren't watching the WNBA is because women don't want to watch it. We see people finally filling up these stadiums, right? Now, clearly they're going into the stadiums now. We see pictures of it. But what do the actual TV ratings for WNBA games look like? Not much. And you know whose fault that is? It's women's fault. Women are watching The Real Housewives of Bravo and Kim Kardashian. Men are watching the NBA. We've always been watching the NBA. We care. We just don't understand why women don't care more.
Well, maybe it has to do because we don't want to see this political conversation happening on. We actually want to see female athletes be able to compete as female athletes, which if you do watch, you know, you go to some teams and softball games are bigger than football games at some universities. And that's what women want to watch when there's actual real athletes being able to do their job and compete. But so often that is destroyed. Caitlin, both of you, please stay with us because we're going to come right back. Because when America First returns, two former NBA players have announced they want to get into the WNBA. One WNBA star responds with language we certainly can't repeat on every television network. Players are fighting with league leadership. And somehow, in the middle of all of this, basketball is attracting some of its biggest audiences ever. So is America's WNBA facing an identity crisis? Or has it finally discovered, intentionally or not, the formula for becoming one of the most talked about sports leagues in America? Welcome back to America First. We're looking at America's WNBA, not simply as a basketball league, but as a fascinating intersection of professional sports, gender, politics, and culture. Now, Caitlin Wheeler and Kenny Webster remain with us. Kenny, I didn't want you to think like that I was actually beating up at you. I think we're actually advocating for the same thing right now. We think this is absolutely ludicrous that we're having this conversation. So I don't want you to think I'm beating up on you. But Caitlin, I have to say something. As another female, is this feminism gone bad? Have we done this to ourselves? Have we become so much, do women deserve what we're getting in this? Because we've become so open-minded that now we're having this argument and it's actually hurting women.
Absolutely. You know, you look at these situations and a lot of times it's women who are fighting for their own erasure. It's a crazy concept. And it's crazy that we're having to ask for the bare minimum. We're asking for, you know, women-only locker rooms. We're asking for women-only sports. There's a women's sporting category for a reason. And you said it so well. I absolutely think it has become a battleground. And honestly, the WNBA has a lot, you know, has itself to blame. A lot of this is done due to its own rules, its own actions. And what's so scary about this issue really is that it appears as though the WNBA and its players, you know, that support these rules don't seem to like the circumstances that they've taken in these rules. It's as if they don't like the consequences of their own decisions, because if you're going to take a position that anyone who simply identifies as a woman should be allowed to compete in the WNBA, then you have to be willing to live with what that actually means. And now we have these two former NBA players who are self-identifying as women. Don't you have to ask, isn't it a little hypocritical if you don't allow them to play, if they're playing by your own rules? You can't create a rule and then decide you don't like what happens when somebody actually follows that rule.
And let me point out, Kenny, I would watch Caitlin just for Caitlin, and whether there's a male on the field or not, or on the court or not. I think that she's entertaining herself, and she's also a good athlete herself. But Kenny, at this stage of it, because you're looking at former NBA players, Enes Kanter, Freedom, and Royce White declaring intentions to enter the WNBA draft after saying they identify a woman. Now, they're saying this requires qualifies, that they neither qualify. So is it because they're so masculine? Is it because they have so many muscles that they're so tall? Or what is actually this satire? And is it making a political point? Or is this a publicity stunt that deliberately is pushing an argument to its logical extreme? Is it actually going to force institutions to finally define the role of what is a woman and what is a man?
Well, it has to be, right? Because at the end of the day, we all know the answer to this. I've always felt like they'll tell you this is a 70-30 issue. I think it's a 90-10 issue. I talk to liberals all the time. I live in a red state, Texas, but I live in a very blue city, Houston. We're surrounded by basketball fans. I'm surrounded by liberals. I live in a high rise. I work in an office building. I don't know anyone that thinks men should compete in women's sports. And yet we're constantly having this conversation in the public. And, you know, as far as the issue with Caitlin Clark goes, you don't need a think tank for this one. You need eyes. They have a star who prints money, and then she gets throat checked. The league investigates the crowd. It's like the other panelist here said, people are throwing dildos onto the court. They're attending the game because they think it's a joke. And the WNBA commissioner set the precedent for that. She created a situation here where people can laugh at them because she's providing them with punchlines.
Well, and those punchlines can also equivalent to dollars. So you have to admit they're probably taking advantage of this. But there's a deeper issue to this, Caitlin, because you're also seeing this as we've had this debate for the last few years, filtering down not only into college sports, but we're seeing in high school sports and rec leagues. You're having this debate, and it's going to continue debate. So isn't this irresponsible for us not to settle this at the top? Because as long as this debate is going on at the top, we're going to continue to have it in our communities, whether you're in a small rural community in Iowa or a big city in New York. This debate will continue to have it unless we get some sort of common sense put in.
Absolutely. You know, we had a former president that was actively working against us, actively working to rewrite Title IX. But thank the Lord for a president who has, you know, now signed an executive order defining the word woman, has signed an executive order to keep men out of women's sports. But we have a lot of pushback from these blue states specifically, and a lot of these organizations like the NCAA, like the WNBA, who are pushing back. And let's be honest here, you know, the WNBA doesn't actually believe what it's saying. If you really believe that women's sports should be based on biological sex, then say it. Protect the women's sporting category, protect their locker rooms, protect your athletes. It's not a lot to ask for. If you don't believe these rules that you're putting in place, then you need to be willing to explain why you're creating these exceptions every time somebody actually tests your rules, because that's where the true hypocrisy comes in. And I think the WNBA needs to remember who actually matters here. It's the women. What happened to the W in the WNBA? You got to be able to define it as well. These are women who have spent their entire lives working to get to this league. They deserve better than that. They deserve a league that protects their sport. They deserve a league that isn't constantly embroiled in this political controversy. Sports should be a place that's exempt from politics. I truly believe that. And they deserve to make money from the sport that they love. So stop gatekeeping these athletes, these phenomenal athletes like Caitlin Clark. Stop pretending you don't understand why people are asking these questions. Stop being shocked when somebody applies your own rules. Let's just make women's basketball about women playing basketball. I think that's how you grow the WNBA.
Okay, Kenny, so I'm about to put you on the hot spot. And I think you can handle it because I know the station that you're on, and I know that you guys are good for this. Do you think sexism actually exists within athletics today in 2026?
You know, it's a nuanced question, right? There's a lot to be said about that. If sexism still exists in sports right now, there wouldn't be a WNBA. But then here we are having a conversation about whether or not men should be able to compete in it. Women are the ones that generally have not watched this sport over the years. Now, you mentioned softball, women's softball earlier. You're right. Women's softball is having a golden era moment right now, and they're not having this controversy about whether or not men should be able to play in their sport. If a guy can show up and reset the record book and leave the girls holding a participation trophy in an ice pack, we didn't expand opportunity for women's sports. We deleted it. That can't be the future of the sport. As far as sexism in sports goes, I think that went away a long time ago. We created leagues, especially in college, and we gave women the opportunity to go out and compete. Whether or not they want to participate or watch it is up to them.
Okay, Caitlin, since you've actually competed in college sports, do you believe that sexism exists? And I'm not talking about necessarily on the boys and girls. And for the record, there was actually a female pitcher that competed on a boys' team in the Little League World of Series. So, I mean, there was a female that was on a male team. We haven't had that debate, which is a little double standard. But to your experience, do you believe that girls' athletics are treated just as equally as male athletics in college? And can this debate be utilized to potentially level the playing field? I mean, just go look at a locker room. Find me any college that where the girls' locker room is equivalent to the same as the boys.
Well, I think we go back to the root of it, Title IX. I mean, this was a piece of legislation that was created to, you know, promote and eliminate sexism, create equality, create fairness for women and opportunities for women. I got to go to college and get an education because of sports, because of Title IX. I wouldn't have had those same opportunities had not hundreds of other thousands of women before me fought for this piece of legislation. And, you know, it's crazy that we're having to have this fight all over again. It's such a common sense issue. Men and women, you know, we're different. We're equal, but we're just not the same. We have different physiological ceilings. And I think that's the part that has become so insane that I sometimes, you know, we lose sight of in this whole argument of how simple this original question was, is why do women's sport exist? They exist for a reason. Women's locker rooms exist for a reason. Title IX was created for a reason. And all those things exist because biological sex matters. And now we've created the situation where people who created these rules don't even seem to like the consequences of their own rules. What Enos and Royce are doing, they're exposing that. They're exposing to the world, really, what's going on and how ludicrous it is. And I actually think that this is a good thing. I obviously don't want men and women's sports, but it's proving a point here because we have an opportunity to expose the insanity. We're not trying to destroy the WNBA. I actually want these women to succeed, but they're missing a lot of opportunities here. They're missing an opportunity to stand up for the right thing and to stand up for their players and to stand up for what's right. So if it means showing them, you know, exactly how insane their rules are for them to reject the insanity, then so be it.
Kenny, I want to give you the last word real quick. How do the league make this better? Can they do anything at this point, or is that cat or genie already out of the bottle?
I think we're all on the same premise here, the same thesis. Men and women's sports is very bad, whether you're talking about basketball, rugby, volleyball, mixed martial arts. We're not talking about interpretive dance here. Speed plus mass plus testosterone equals bodily injury if it involves a woman. It's more than just what happens in the locker room, although that's disturbing and disgusting. It's about physics. Physics does not care about your pronouns. And at the end of the day, all the WNBA has to do is admit what the W stands for, and the problem will be solved. Most people will celebrate it. A tiny minutia of society will probably be upset that trans people will be excluded. And guess what? They're probably not watching anyway.
Well, thank you, because they're watching this show and hopefully this conversation, because it's not just happening in the United States. This is a conversation that's happening around the world in male and female sports alike. Thank you, Kenny and Caitlin, for joining us for this conversation.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Like I said, for an international audience, the story of the WNBA is bigger than American basketball, because this debate is happening across the world. What defines a women's competition? How should sports organizations actually address transgender eligibility? And should athletes be expected to take political positions? Can a league embrace social activism while remaining welcoming to fans who disagree? And when controversy creates attention, where is the line between defending principles and turning politics into part of the entertainment? There is an irony in all of this. You see, for years, the WNBA's biggest challenge was getting people to pay attention. Well, now people are paying attention. A lot of attention. And the league has stars, it has rivalries, it has money, it has controversy. And it has millions of people debating what the WNBA represents. Perhaps the real challenge now is determining what it actually wants to be. A professional basketball league? A platform for social change? A battleground for America's cultural wars? Or somehow a mix of all three? Because ultimately, women's sports cannot exist without women willing to compete. But professional sports also cannot exist without spectators willing to watch. And right now, America is watching the WNBA. The question is why? My thanks to Caitlin Wheeler and Kenny Webster for joining us tonight. And thank you to everyone watching around the world. I'm Skynell Hughes. This has been America First.